Well, as I said, the theme this month that Pastor feels the prompting of the Holy Spirit to be with is honor. When I was preparing this sermon, I didn't realize the extent at which honor permeates the Bible. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. My title today of this sermon is Honor, the Lost Virtue. Because as you study scriptures and you look at our contemporary times, you would agree with me, I'm quite sure, we have lost the virtue of honor in this country especially, but I would say around the world. But in this country that was formed on honorable men and women who formed this country and sacrificed everything they had, and they were the most honorable people. And yet we are slipping away from that right now, and we are not giving the honor and respect to the people that we need to. And this is not pleasing to God. If you have your Bibles, open with me if you would. I'm going to start off. 1 Peter 3:15 says this. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness. Now, here's what I found. That part of the scripture right there, as you become a Christian, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior and you come to him, that part is relatively easy for all of us to understand and all relatively easy for all of us to do, because we understand the sacrifice that God made. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to redeem us, lost children of God, lost. No hope without Jesus Christ, without his sacrifice, there was no hope. So for us to honor the Father and to honor the Son, it comes relative easy to us, to all of us out there. We look at that and we realize what he did, and we pay honor to him. It becomes something that's part of our fabric as a Christian. Understand that. But there's so much more in scripture that talks about honor. It is such a broad principle in scripture that it encompasses every part of our life, and we're missing out on that. I have a quote today. I'm gonna read you this. This was fascinating. This quote comes from John Ramsey. He is the founder of Targeting Excellence. And read with me if you would. Do you know honor is mentioned 147 times in the Bible? I often tell people I'm honored to be their friend. At times I receive a strange look. With me, I grew up from a young age having the mindset of honoring people. I proudly served 10 years in the United States Air Force with honor. We were taught honor in basic training. But it is evident to me that many inside the four walls of the church don't know how to honor because it rarely happens. He goes on to say, many have been told in the church that people, especially leaders, are not supposed to be honored. Please do a search and read the 147 texts that talk about honor. When people tell you that we're not supposed to honor each other, it contradicts about 200 other scriptures. It's a lie. People who say that they are afraid of people walking in pride, but they're walking in pride because they're walking in false humility. Deuteronomy 26:19 will shock your socks off. He has decided that he will set you in praise, fame, and honor high above all nations. He has made and that you will be a people holy to the Lord your God as promised. God is talking about honor. 1 Samuel 2:30, God says, those who honor me, I'll honor, but those who despise me will be disdained. God is saying, if you honor me, I'll honor you. Honor is pretty important to our God, and honor is very important to people. We see honor in the Bible in the form of coats, sashes, and crowns. Joseph was given a coat of honor. It's being set apart. We need to understand the chain of command that exists in organizations and properly honor the leaders. He goes on to say this. We live in a nation today that has very little honor. The majority of our young people do not know the meaning of honor. I was in a line the other day and a young man pushed through me and said, hey, old man, move out of the way. Honor is verbalizing how someone is seen through God's eyes. So often, we're afraid of praise or edifying others. We don't want to give them a big head, so therefore, we don't honor. Honoring one another is honoring God. God speaks through others. When you honor those whom he has spoken through, you honor him. I want all of you to know, I am honored to be your friend. That was by John Ramsey. Now, the part of that quote that jumped out at me was that line right there where it says, honor is verbalizing how someone is seen through the eyes of God. Now, that's really important to understand that, that when you understand that we are all children of God, that every one of us deserve to have honor, just the very fact that you are a child of God. And when you start to understand that, looking at people through the eyes of God, it will change how you approach others and how you will bestow honor upon the people deserving of that. And it's so important. So what I've done today, I've taken just four areas. The Bible is rich. Like I said, 147 times, 35 books of the Bible, 35 books of the 66 Bibles, 66 books in the Bible have the word honor mentioned. The principle of honor is in over half the books of the Bible. Now that tells you right there, does it not, that God wants us to understand the virtue and the characteristics of honor and learn how to bestow that on each other. So today, I've selected four areas that I can see right now, in contemporary times right now, there's four areas that I looked at where I say, honor is devoid in these areas. It is devoid, I don't see it. And we need to reestablish this. We need to make it a principle in our life. We need to turn it back into a virtue. Honor should be a virtue that is daily in our hearts. First one is this, honor our parents. Exodus 20:12 says this, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord has given you. Ephesians 6:1-3 says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on this earth. Now, that seems pretty cut and dry. Most of us have heard those scriptures, right? But I'm gonna look at something. Here's a statistical view of what's going on in our nation right now. It says, a notable finding was that 77% of children direct physiological or psychological violence toward both parents. However, as was found in similar studies with community populations, there was no difference in the victimizations of the fathers or of the mothers. Now think about this. So 77% of the families right now in America, the children are not honoring the parents. As a matter of fact, they're dishonoring, disrespecting, and disdaining the parents. Why is that? One of the things I found, and I think a lot of you agree with me, it falls on the shoulders of us men. Guys, listen to me. As men, we should be teaching our children, training them up, raising them up in the way of the Lord to understand how honor works. If honor is not exhibited in the house, it will not be a virtue that our children will take with them. It will not be. They won't learn it in school. They won't learn it in business. They won't learn it with their peers. Whether they will learn it with us men, guys, it is up to us. You and me, men, we need to be the leaders in our households. We need to be leaders wherever we're at, men, and understand that the world needs to see honor restored back. It is an important thing, so important that God put it throughout the books of the Bible for us to understand the virtue and characteristic of honor. And when you see that finding, 77% of the families are dealing with a violence against parents by their children. That is not respect. Guys, it's time for us, as men, men of God, godly men, to step up and restore honor in our households by what we say and what we do, and our actions will teach our children how to honor others. And it's so important. The next year I looked at, staying with the family, honor our children. Ephesians 6:4 says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instructions of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Now, this is so important for us that we have to understand one thing, that it's on us to be the lights and to bring that virtue about. And it's so important for all of us to understand that the way we're going to do that is through training up a child in the way it should go. Now, Scripture is playing with that. You can see throughout Scripture the principle of training up a child. Now, in the Scripture, it says this. It says, for the sins of the father shall be passed down to third and fourth generations. Now, does that mean that in your family lineage, that there's a bondage of some type in there, that you are destined and your kids are destined for that? Not at all. That is not the God we serve. The God we serve is a God of freedom. He is a God who will take the bonds and break the bondage that we're in. But listen to me. Listen to me. Parents, listen to what that says. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. It's training. Guess what training means? It means you're going to have to invest time with your children. You're going to have to invest time in prayer. You need to be a model in that household. Your children should see you model honor. It is so important that our children see that. I need to grab my water here where I laid it down there. But hold on. With us, we need to keep that principle in our households. Mark 9:42 says this, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. This is a powerful scripture when you think about this. Basically, when you look at that, what God has said is that it'd be better for you to commit suicide than to harm children and have to face me on the day of judgment. That's pretty powerful. When you hear our Heavenly Father say that, those are powerful words. Now, here's something that's really staggering for me. This is a statistic that I looked up. This is currently in our country. Listen to these numbers. Abortion statistics current in the United States. Total number of abortions in the United States from 1993 to 2018. Here it is. 61.8 million abortions. Now it goes on to say this. 186 abortions per 100 live births, according to the Centers for Disease Control. U.S. abortions in 2017, 862,320. Abortions per day, 22,362 abortions per hour, 98. One abortion every 98 seconds. I don't know about you guys, but when I read that, it literally just took my breath away when I realized, as you're listening to me and as I'm speaking right now, children of God, not unborn fetuses, by the way, children of God, of the Most High God, created in his image, are going to die right now while we're sitting here. They will not see the light of day. They have a plan and a purpose, because we know that from Scripture. What's it say? Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, the plans and purpose I had. Does it not say that? Therefore, before you and I were, God knew what we were going to do. He knew our plan and our purpose on here. Now listen, the mother's womb for 9 months is supposed to be the safest place of nurturing and safety that child can be. Is that not true? It should be the safest place. But yet in the United States of America, we've taken the safest place that it should be and turned it into a house of horrors. It has become a house of horrors for the children who are being murdered. And I'm sorry if that sounds harsh, but when I read these numbers, it just broke my heart. Because I look out here and I see each of you, you are all children of God. You had a plan and a purpose. And because you were allowed to be conceived, you're here fulfilling a plan and purpose that God has for you right now. What about the ones that don't? the plans and purpose that God had for them. It's funny, a lot of times you'll hear the debates go on this, and I know this is somewhat of a hot topic, but I'm sorry. The debate about the fetus, and that word, to me, it's a cop-out. It's what the world is using now to try to euphemize, thank you, Bill, thank you so much, trying to euphemize, the world is trying to euphemize the language to make it acceptable. It's not acceptable. These are children of the Most High. In the second chapter of Luke, Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and they were both pregnant. Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist at the time. Mary was pregnant with Jesus. When Mary came into the presence of Elizabeth and they greeted, it says, the babe leaped in the womb. John the Baptist leaped in the womb in the presence of God. Now, why am I telling you this? The word used in the Greek language for babe, right then and there, right there, is brephos. Now, brephos, remember that word. Because when you move on to the second chapter and you go to where the shepherds are called to go to honor the newborn babe, when they go there, it says, and they saw a babe. They saw a babe. He is now out of the womb. The word there is what? Rephos. God makes no distinction of the unborn child and the born child. None whatsoever. Neither should we. Neither should we. We should not do that. We should protect the most innocent citizens in this country today. They need to have a voice. It has to be you and I. And this is where honor starts. When we are not ashamed to take up the hard causes, we will become honorable people. Because I will tell you, you look throughout history and you will see the men and women of honor, they took up the hard causes. Unashamedly were a voice for the Lord. They unashamedly preached the gospel message. They unashamedly would literally give their lives to defend the faith throughout history. Next area. It's our spouses. Honoring our spouses. Scripture tells us that we are to honor our spouses. Like, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. That's what it says in Ephesians. It goes on to say this, the harder charge. Husbands, honor your wives as Christ did and gave himself up for her. Now think of this, men, think of this. This is a tough call because we have been told that we're to honor our wives so much so that we are to give our lives for them. Give our lives for them. We're missing out, guys. Right now, I have a statistic here. I'm going to pull it out here real quick. That is, right here we go. Listen to this. If praying can turn enemies into friends, imagine what it can do for a marriage. Here are some shocking statistics. While 50% of first marriages end in divorce, and 78% of second marriages end in a divorce, less than 1% of couples who pray together daily end their divorce. All right, let that sink in, guys, for a moment. All right, 50% of the marriages, 50% of the couples that come to the altar and get married, half of them will not survive. A second marriage, 78% of them will not survive. But now the shocking number. My wife and I, we were privileged, this has been several years back, to go to Weekend to Remember. Has anyone here been to Weekend to Remember? Raise your hand. I'm just curious. Oh, awesome. That's awesome. All right. Those of you that raise your hand know that that is a wonderful thing for couples to do. It teaches husbands and wives how to honor each other when you go through that. They build the principles. They give you tools to use in your families that will help you survive this statistic right here, because that statistic is true. This is what's going on in America today, that 50% of the marriages are not making it. But now you look at, did he say that go to counseling, that that's where you will survive? Did he say, get some psychological evaluations done, that's how we'll do it? Did he say, just spend more quality time together, that will save your marriage? He did not. What did he say saved the marriages? Daily prayer together as spouses. What a powerful tool. Do you understand the power in prayer right there? When that statistic tells you that you can become less than 1% just by getting with your spouse and taking what the enemy wants to do to destroy you and allowing the Holy Spirit to bring about a healing and strengthening that marriage just because you and your spouse are praying together. Now think of this. How good of an example are you at training up your children when you're training up your children to honor God in prayer as a husband and wife? When your children see you praying together, calling out on Christ to be the healer. Because you all know this, if you're married, marriage is not perfect. Marriage has conflict. It will happen. You're not getting away from conflict. But the key is this, it's not about conflict, it's about the resolution, and the resolution has to be that your household is covered by the Holy Spirit and that you are daily, listen, that says, daily with your spouse going to battle against the enemy with prayer. This is so important. This is a virtue also that we need to bring back in. For years, Pastor Stevens preached about prayer. His theme, really, one of the things he had, his theme throughout his ministry was prayer. I can tell you. Pastor Stevens is a man of prayer. He understands that. And those of you that knew when he was a pastor here, he spent time in prayer. It was so important. Pastor modeled for us prayer. And now we come in, we have another pastor who is modeling prayer and honor right now. He is coming in. So we have a mentor in Pastor Stevens who mentored our pastor right now. And we have got a young man on fire with a zeal for the Lord who is teaching us the importance of prayer and understanding that we need to have prayer-centered homes. It's the only way that we can change these statistics, you guys. The only way we can do it. And finally, honoring each other. As soon as I get to it. Honoring each other. Romans 12:10 says this, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, this is the hard part right here, because we are living right now, and I think most of you would agree with this, in a society of selfish, self-centered people. That's what's permeating in our nation right now. Selfish, self-centered people. So, how can we honor others when we need to strip away the bondage we're in to the self-centered attitude? Think of how it is in this world right now. Everything is a me generation. That is not honoring. That is selfish. That is self-centered. That is counterproductive. It is the opposite of honoring. You bring dishonor when you will no longer reach out and honor those that need it. So there's groups that we can look at, and we know, we hear them mentioned. What I'm going to do today, I am going to have the groups as I call them out. I want you to stand up. And when you do, just remain standing. Anyone in here who has served in the United States Armed Forces, past or currently serving, please stand. If you cannot stand, please raise your hand. Please stand. Remain standing. Anyone who has served or is now currently serving as a first responder, policeman, fireman, EMT, please stand. Anyone who has served in the ministry as a pastor or teacher, or listen to this, volunteer that you have selflessly given to the ministry at any level, if you have served in the ministry with volunteer or you've been a staff member or a pastor, please stand. Any of you who have been in any form of teaching, whether it be in the secular teaching or in parochial teaching, at any level, as a counselor or a teacher, please stand. Anyone who has worked in the healthcare industry at any level, whether it be in nursing, volunteering at the hospitals, I don't care if you were a doctor, whatever you were, if you volunteered, if you have worked in the healthcare industry at any level, please stand. Now, anyone in here who has given their heart to Jesus Christ and knows him as Lord and Savior, please stand. Woo! Everybody, take a look around. Look around. This is a beautiful thing, is it not? One thing is evident today. Guess what that is? I don't need an altar call. Is that a beautiful thing? This is a beautiful thing. This is a beautiful thing. Praise team, could you come forward, please? You may all be seated. Thank you guys so much. Now, as you see in this congregation, literally, 100% of us out here are deserving of honor. What we have to do is we have to learn to understand how to give honor to those who deserve it. Last weekend, my family and I, we went on a boating trip up to Clear Lake. We got up there. We were having an issue with some parking dilemma we were having. My youngest son, Tyler, he drove down the street and he found a police officer down the street. And he said, hey, we're having a little problem here. What can we do to, you know, do this? You know, we didn't want to get ticketed and all this. And he just went to the officer and he said, I know you're extremely busy, sir. You know, Memorial weekend or Labor Day weekend. He said, I know you're busy. The officer was very gracious, said, no, not at all. This is what I do. This is what I'm here for. Gave us, you know, the help we needed. My son, Tyler, went to the officer and said, sir, I want to thank you so much for what you're doing right now. That officer was so appreciative to hear a young man, a 22-year-old man, look at him and say, officer, thank you so much for what you're doing. Do you understand? We don't know what that officer was going through. We don't know. We don't know what his life story is. He has a life story, but we don't know it. He could be in bondage of something. He could be struggling with something right now. And by my son going up and showing honor and respect to him, it could have made his day. It could have changed his attitude that day just because someone took the time to honor him for who he was and what he was doing. This is the importance of honor. When you honor others, you don't know where they're at. But I'll tell you this, you can make their day a little bit better than it has been just by honoring them at that moment. You can bring a little bit of light into some darkness just by honoring them. It is so important. People deserve to be honored. They deserve this recognition. Let's make that a priority to restore the virtue of honor back into our lives and to bestow it on those who are so deserving of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just give you thanks today, Lord, for your guidance, your direction, the prompting of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that leads us, Lord, in times of doubt, Lord, and uncertainty. You lead and guide and direct us, Lord, in a wonderful way that only you can do. Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you will set us in divine appointments as we leave here, Father, in divine appointments, Lord, that we may give honor to the people around us. Father, I pray that in our households, Lord, we will begin to restore godly honor in our households towards each other, Father. I pray right now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will move on every heart here, every heart that's listening right now, Father, to understand the need to restore the virtue of honor in our country. Father, I give you praise, honor, and glory for who you are, for what you've done, and what you will continue to do. I pray you bless us all right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.